Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Cody Marvin on behalf of Plaintiff Bill McCurry. This is a Social Security disability case. Plaintiff requests that this Court reverse the decision of the ALJ based on errors in his decision or in the alternative on new and material evidence submitted after the hearing. First thing I want to clarify is that there's a lot of evidence here from going back to 96 and some through 2001, 2002, but Mr. McCurry filed his application in 2005, so the earliest date he would have been entitled to benefits was, I think, August 16th, 2005. Bill McCurry was over 50 years old at all times in the application for his benefits, so because of his age, his limited education, and lack of skills, he would have been found disabled had he been limited to sedentary work. Really, if he had any significant limitations in the ability to stand and walk, he would have been found disabled based on the medical vocational guidelines. The plaintiff argues that the ALJ's determination that Mr. McCurry could perform light work was an error because he failed to specifically address Mr. McCurry's allegations, and he didn't properly evaluate the opinion of Dr. Elms, who performed a consultative examination.
Doesn't this case, though, boil down to a credibility finding? Given the medically determinable problems that Mr. McCurry had, what the Social Security Administration has to figure out is how do those medical problems manifest themselves in someone's ability to function, whether it's lift, carry, fine motor, whatever it may be. And as I read the ALJ's opinion, no one is really debating much about the underlying medical problems, but it's the consequences of them. And the ALJ just doesn't think they have as much of an effect on Mr. McCurry's ability to function as he's saying. There's all this weaving through the record about is he exaggerating, or is he... These strike me as credibility issues that this court is very badly positioned to second guess.
Okay. Regarding the credibility, and I think the doctor's opinion will also applies there, but when the ALJ went through and made the credibility determination, he was really focused on, you're right, things about, exaggeration, but there were things that weren't totally related to Mr. McCurry's ability to work. There was the one point about whether or not he had the EMG-NCV test.
I agree with you that seems to be much ado about nothing, but it seems that the ALJ eventually recognized that, too, that maybe Mr. McCurry was just confused about what sorts of tests people were conducting.
But then he put in the decision. He relied on that in the decision.
I thought it was much more that, and some of the other doctors also say, here are these objective factors, and then there's a pretty big leap over to Mr. McCurry's subjective accounts, and they just don't see the linkage. He says he can't walk while he's walking in,
There was that example where he could walk, but the question here is really whether he could be on his feet, most of the time for 40 hours a week. He went and saw Dr. Elms, who performed a 95-minute examination, and based on that examination, gave an opinion that said, he can be on his feet maybe 2 hours a day, maybe up to 4 hours a day or something like that, with changing between sitting and standing. Now, the ALJ discounted that based on the opinion of the medical expert at the hearing, who... He was not an expert. He was an orthopedist, and he had never examined Mr. McCurry. So when the medical expert went through, he looked at the evidence and said, well, I don't really see it. Then he went and said, I can't really say, based on this, what the limitations would be. Dr. Elms, who was a specialist, did the examination and determined at the end that Mr. McCurry wasn't going to be able to do that. He wasn't capable of doing light work.
But Dr. Elms's statement to that effect was primarily based on Mr. McCurry's self-reporting.
Well, it may have been, but again, Dr. Elms is a specialist. So Mr. McCurry went in and, if you look through Dr. Elms' report, Mr. McCurry says those things in the first place, Dr. Elms performs the examination, and if you assume based on his experience and specialization that he found that to be reliable. Now, the second thing that really applies here was the examination at Stroger Hospital a few months later. Dr. Elms' examination was in April 2007. The one at Stroger was in September 2007, and that's at page 478 of the record. Through that examination, the doctor noted the same things that Dr. Elms had noted in his examination, that there was a tenderness in the low spine, a weakness in the lower extremities. And the ALJ didn't discuss any of that evidence. The ALJ did reference the note, but that was more just to discredit Mr. McCurry and say there's no evidence that he went back. But he didn't discuss the substance of that evidence at all and discuss whether it was consistent with Dr. Elms' opinion.
Are the delays at Stroger Hospital really so severe that it takes you a year to get a call back for testing?
Yes, I think they are. And as you can see from the evidence submitted later, he did go to the neurological consult, but it was several months later. And I think that's
almost
not
a year later, as I remember.
Yeah. So that I from what I've seen, that's not unusual.
Well, but again, we really do boil down. You can have tenderness in your lower back, and the real question is, does that prevent you from doing the kind of work that the vocational expert was testifying
right.
Mr. McCurry could do? There are people
right.
every day who are showing up at work with back braces, and they were probably not comfortable, but they're working.
That's true. Now, there was the X-ray in November of 2005 that showed that there was degeneration in the back. And then there
which
was doctor
described as very common in the record, the kind of degeneration.
Well, when the medical expert went through that, he did say that it's not uncommon, but he said, I can't tell from this what effect it's having on him. The next thing we have is the examination from Dr. Elms. And Dr. Elms hadn't seen the X-ray, but he saw tenderness in the same spots and said, based on his examination, he can't do light work. Then at the examination at Stroger, again, it's tenderness in the same spots and the weakness. So those things are consistent. Regarding other inconsistencies in Bill McCurry's testimony, LJ really focused on those, but when Mr. McCurry testified to what he does during the day, he gets up, he takes a walk, but he doesn't do a whole lot. He can be on his feet for maybe an hour a day, that kind of thing. The LJ didn't address those things, or as SSR 96-8 says, ALJ is required to discuss whether symptom-related limitations can be supported by the evidence. And the ALJ didn't do that here. He mentioned those allegations, skipped over, didn't say they were reasonable in light of that evidence. So that's all I have right now.
Thank you, Mr. Marvin. Mr. Scoggins.
Jason Scoggins for the Commissioner of Social Security. May it please the Court. As the Court has stated, this case is largely about credibility, and the ALJ made several adverse credibility findings that were relevant to Mr. McCurry's testimony that occurred when he was making statements to the ALJ under oath. And when we're dealing with an impairment that's like back pain, where there isn't really a lot of objective evidence here, the ALJ's responsibility to determine credibility really becomes crucial. And this court has stated that we'll reverse that determination only if it is patently wrong. Plaintiff or Mr. McCurry isn't disputing the ALJ's finding that he was not truthful when he was asked about the 2005 emergency room visit concerning alcohol. He says that he locked up his back. Presumably this would be one of the points where he's worse in his symptoms, but the neurological exam is unexceptional. He's given a little bit of medicine and sent home.
So what are we to make of obviously, as you're saying, this is an area where there's a bigger gap, perhaps, between the objective medical signals and how they might manifest themselves. It reminds me of fibromyalgia or other kinds of diseases that have that same problem. And Mr. McCurry says, for example, that his hands seize up, and he really isn't able to do that fine motor kind of work, and that doesn't seem to be accepted. But how do you prove that they do or not, aside from just following him around for weeks on end?
Well, Your Honor, there are many pieces of objective medical evidence that can lend support to that kind of subjective complaints. For instance, there are x-rays in this record. The doctor who ordered those x-rays called them, quote-unquote, normal. The medical expert said, you know, this is not uncommon with age.
Well, I understand that the medical, you know, no, we aren't seeing broken bones, we're not seeing arthritis, we're not seeing things that might support that. But what I guess I'm concerned about is the medical profession has a great word for this, idiopathic, which means we don't have a clue, as far as I can tell. And sometimes there are things that are wrong with people that they really can't tie down to anything. And yet they're genuinely happening.
I mean, that's always possible, Your Honor, but the Social Security system is set up where it is the claimant who bears the burden of disability. And although the claimant's testimony is certainly considered, there needs to be something there.
So what do you do with a person like Mr. McCurry, who, as far as I can tell, through the bureaucraties that's used in all of these things, is somebody who's been homeless, I don't know, off and on or always, somebody who has perhaps a significant alcohol problem, somebody who doesn't have any kind of record for decades of working. I mean, what do you do with somebody like that?
Well, I think in this particular case, Your Honor, the record indicates that Mr. McCurry was able to access health care when he wanted to. He goes to the hospital when he is intoxicated. He goes to the hospital when he runs out of, I believe it's Motrin and Tylenol, two over-the-counter substances. He goes to the hospital when he needs shelter. He certainly understands that if he's having severe back pain.
He's part of the healthcare problem in the United States. The emergency rooms don't want to be the first-line healthcare providers.
That's probably true, Your Honor. He also, if you look at the record, not only in 2007, but also some of the more dated records from the previous claims file, he has access to this health program where nurse practitioner Torna Bene is. He goes in shortly before he sees Dr. Elms for a physical. So he's getting, you know, some amount of preventative care access. He was given the opportunity to say, I want my provider to address my pain. He explicitly denied that he needed for the nurse practitioner to address that pain. So he's had chances to get medical care if he is having a truly disabling pain experience, and the record does not support that that's the case.
You know, one point the ALJ makes a point of saying that he's not credible because he admitted only to drinking half a pint of alcohol, and his blood alcohol content was up to three times the legal limit. But I don't understand that. First of all, what's a half a pint of alcohol? Are we talking about a half a can of Coors Light or 8 ounces of Jack Daniels? I mean, you're going to have a big difference in your blood alcohol content if consuming those two things. So I don't know why he's necessarily lying about something.
He doesn't specify what the half of a pint was. At the time of treatment, he said a quart of beer, which if you do the math, would be nowhere near that kind of blood alcohol level. That's only about three cans of beer. And so his story is shifting. The examination is detailed on the legs.
It might be, but I don't see why that is a point to against his credibility.
Well, he also, I believe, testifies to the ALJ that, you know, the reason he was going to the hospital was because of his back. It was locked. And the record shows that it's because of his drinking, and he's minimizing that the reason he went to the ER was because he was extremely drunk. And so, you know, irrespective of what volume of whatever kind of alcoholic beverage he's drinking, he's not accepting that, you know, this visit was caused not because of physical problems, but because of acute alcohol intoxication. And he's not being truthful with the ALJ because he's trying to pass this off as evidence of a physical problem, and it's not. And his counsel asserted at the hearing, and the ALJ accepted a proffer of evidence that said that he does not have a serious alcohol problem, that it's not a wouldn't be an issue in giving him a favorable decision. So the alcohol abuse itself isn't an issue. It's whether plaintiff is willing to be candid and upfront with the ALJ. And that's just one of the instances in which he did. And he also denied going to the emergency room for shelter. In the context of the hearing, the ALJ asks him, you know, you have to, you know, we can't give you benefits because you're homeless. You have to actually be disabled. And I'm concerned that because you're going to the hospital, not for treatment, but for shelter, you know, that seems to suggest maybe you're applying for SSI because you're homeless. And, you know, instead of acknowledging that concern and saying, well, you know, plaintiff or Mr. McCurry could come up with, you know, any number of good reasons, he just denies that it ever happens, even though the medical records are very explicit. He's selectively remembering events in a way that favors his disability claim. And contrary to opposing counsel's arguments that these somehow aren't related enough to his disability, we have this court's decisions in Butera and Berger where the court upheld credibility determinations in part based on factors like a hesitancy to talk about one's employment history because one was in prison or not reporting all of one's income on income taxes, even though the credibility determinations in those cases were not about vocational issues or substantial gainful activity issues, but were about the person's medical impairments. The court said, you know, this type of lack of candor can reasonably lead an ALJ who has a lot of deference as far as credibility determinations and can make him take a more skeptical view. Since I don't have much time left, I want to talk about the new evidence briefly. It is more dated. Plaintiff was not able to cite any evidence or any court decisions that have allowed evidence this old to come in. It does not link well to these nonspecific pains that Dr. Elms found. He found nonspecific back pain, nonspecific shoulder pain, et cetera. And these are well-defined radiculopathies in different areas. And so the suggestion is he got worse. He hasn't submitted any type of medical opinion that says, you know, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, this was happening 8 months ago. He's older. These things get worse with time. Some of his findings are actually better, such as the muscle strength finding. And I see my time has expired, so thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Marvin?
Yes. I wanted to respond just kind of generally about the credibility in the cases the commissioner signed. Referenced. This wasn't a case where, you know, he was, like, cheating on his taxes or anything like that. There was no criminal anything like that he was cheating. The history he gave was maybe he doesn't have a very good memory. When he goes to the ER, they say there was an issue of shelter, but he also, had an issue with his back and with his legs. And regarding him being undomiciled, he stated at the time of the hearing that he did have a place to live, so he wasn't doing this because, you know, he needed money so he could get a place. Regarding the commissioner's argument regarding the new evidence, that it was so much later that his condition probably had worsened, that's inconsistent with the argument he made and that the evidence the ALJ relied on in a decision from 2001-2002 that showed the problems were lesser, but you know, 5 years later or so, the condition had gotten much worse, as evidenced by Dr. Elm's examination and the Stroger examination. About the nurse practitioner's opinion, her examination, it doesn't show that she didn't do an examination of the back, first of all. And second, he says that Mr. McCurry went in and said he didn't have any problems with pain, but when you look at the nurse's description of problems, the main problem is chronic low back pain. So I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.